Okay, well, I think we're on 6:05, so I think we should start, even though some people will join. I think, Bart, were you taking names? Can we have a roll call?
Yes, I will. So we got Eberhard, Kim, Nigel, Christina, Slobodan, Bill, Yuki, Catherine from Sierra, on behalf of Byron, Desiree, Chris, Jaap, and Becky, and myself.
Excellent. And on the call, who wasn't named? Excellent. Okay, we've had some apologies. I think I listed them on my email. There was Martin, Patricio, Suzanne, and Beth, and Eric.
Keith, we also have from Oscar Robles.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And any other apologies?
Not to my knowledge. Christina, did you receive any apologies? No? Okay.
Okay. Could I ask people if they have a mute button? To please use it if they're not speaking so that we can keep the background noise to a minimum.
It's star 6 for mute and star 7 to unmute.
Star 6?
Star 6 to mute and star 7 to unmute.
That's a good one.
Excellent. Okay, and the agenda has also been out with no suggestions on the list for changes or additions or deletions. Does anyone have any issues with the agenda in its current form? No, good. Moving on to item 3, the notes of the last meeting have been up online and I've sent you a link. That last meeting on the 7th of January. Does anyone have any objection to that being the record of the meeting?
Everhard, you had a comment on the notes. Did that get fixed?
Let me have a look.
Shall we assume happiness for the moment and Eberhard can come back to us?
Yep.
With this call today, I really think we need to limit it and be off the call and 1 hour, 30 minutes from now. I'd like to keep us progressing as quickly as we can. Item 4 is the revised wording of the project plan, version 1.7. I trust you've all had a chance to read that, and I'll invite comments on that.
Maybe just a note, since I wrote it, is Bernie here. This was in response to Bill's comments about lack of clarity on the final report. So I think we've tried to address that.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. So no comments, objections. People fairly relaxed that this is somewhat finalish for our project plan. Excellent. Thank you all. The next item is item 5, the comparison document. This is the item we discussed at quite some length and sent Bernie away to prepare us a comparison between RFC 1591, ICP1 and the GAC principles, and we now have that document. There hasn't been...
Bernie and Becky.
Yes, of course. Sorry, Becky. There hasn't been any particular comments online, but I wonder if we could have some discussion. Did working group members find this a useful document from which to start making comparisons between the policies and guidelines?
This is Bill Samick. I certainly found it very useful and is a good touchstone for our discussions. Not to promote scope creep, but I wondered if it might be possible, and I'd be happy to join in to help, to add to the, if this were a two-column comparison, to add a third column to look at the draft criteria for delegating country code top-level domains that IANA has circulated to us.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Any further comments? Discussion?
It seems to me that sort of our order of work is now to take what we have here and compare it to what IANA says it does and what it does based on the reports and things like that.
Yes, I tend to agree. I think we now have something that perhaps takes gives us a template to say, ICP1 doesn't mean anything else or anything different in these regards, and GAC principles doesn't mean anything different in those regards, but here are some points of contention, and how do these marry with the actual IANA procedure document? That would seem to be the logical way forward, is to add that comparison. But I'm just wondering if, on a sort of a not quite a line by line, but whether people were in general agreement with the comments that Bernie and Becky had raised on that document.
It looks fine to me, Keith. I can't. It's Chris. It's an excellent starting document, and I agree. I think it would be really useful as a next step to have the comparison now with at least what we see as the practice. I acknowledge that sometimes we might not see stuff, but what we see is the practice.
I cannot understand a word of what you're saying. I can almost not even hear you. Maybe you want to dial out and dial in again.
Okay. So where does that leave us? Is that a task we're now tasking Bernie with as the lead to drift through the comparison against the IANA procedures?
Yeah, that sounds like a logical next step, and I'll be happy to take care of that along the same lines that we did for the RFC 1591 ICP1 comparison. Do we want to push it a little further and look at the actual delegation reports and how they fit into these comparisons also?
I think we have to. I mean, in some ways it's not completely transparent, but I think, the what is actually being done is you've got to look at those reports to know that.
Yes.
Before we go too far, we have other people who aren't on the call, and I'd like to see if there's any other suggestions or comments on this, as opposed to just accepting it.
Of course.
Like another few days to look through it, because it's my first reaction when I read it was, wow, this is great. I wish I had this a long time ago. But I'd also like to just put on my thinking hat as opposed to my being overwhelmed and impressed hat, and see if there's a couple things in here that I'd have some comments on.
Sure. I think Bill... I think we need to discuss, what we're going to do from here, and we've got that coming up on the agenda shortly under item 8 and 9. I think I'll just take this opportunity to remind us that we are working this through on an iterative process, so it will take two calls to finalise anything, so that the working group members who missed the opportunity through the evil timing of these calls have the opportunity to have a say at least at one of two consecutive meetings. So I don't think we're going to finalise anything, but I think in the interests of progress we do need to move ahead. So if there's a strong consensus that that's the next step for Burnie, notwithstanding the fact that some people might have some strenuous objections to some slices of what we're doing, I think we should progress the work, but still allow the input from others at a later stage.
You see, my problem is that none of this actually defines what a domain or a CCTLD is. It doesn't define who owns it. It is clear to us that it's ICANN and maybe even IANA's position that they own it and therefore can deal with it any way within their current framework or whatever framework they please, which is clearly not the case for most, if not all, CCTLDs, unless the ones that have binding contracts with ICANN. It is clearly not the case for the ones that were delegated or that were established, that registered with the NIC before ICANN was established, or even before RFC 15591, to which we have been adhering voluntarily since most of us has been established. If push comes to shove, ICANN or whoever might encounter stiff and vigorous defense from companies who are the domain owners with regards to their property. I think we need to have a look at that.
Yeah.
So far, ICANN has managed, what is up repeatedly, you have never acted on it, and I want it minuted now, and if necessary, I'll give some more details for Christina to minute it. It is absolutely clear that it belongs to somebody. It's not clear to whom it belongs, the CCTLD. It is not clear that the use of language such as trustee and sponsoring organization and so on creates an impression that it is ICANN. It's not.
No,
at least the position of some of us is it is not. Therefore, I think we need to have a look at it, and I think personally, I think we can dispense with a lot of the working group and recommend policy development process right now because we can't deal with this issue.
Nigel. Hello?
Carry on, Nigel.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure if unmuted.
Did I shock anyone?
No, I'm just trying to get attention.
Well, I have some comments too, but Nigel, go ahead.
Okay. I'm not sure that I entirely agree with what Eberhardt is saying, but I've just got one point to make, which underlines part of what he's saying, but I think part of what he's saying has been obscured by all the rest of it. You cannot say whether or not a TLD, whether it's a CC or a GTLD, is property until you've decided what it is. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, and someone else wanted to say something?
Well, apart from trying to figure out how many angels can fit on the head of a pen, I thought I would just kind of recollect conversations that started way back in our meetings in Barcelona and then in Monterey prior to ICANN's formation, in which CCTLD managers felt that the IANA function, which ICON was apparently going to replace, was to be treated more as a service provision to the ccTLD managers and not as the ccTLD managers being assigned to perform a function for IANA. Many of these managers registered their domains with the NIC prior to RFC 1591 or any other RFCs, so thinking of France and some others. So they do predate all this process. .NU came in under the auspices of RFC 1591 pre-IANA, pre-ICON, sorry. And so, you know, we feel bound by those terms. But we've got a wide spectrum of both history and relationships that have built over the years, and functioning ccTLDs who have been operating under assumptions that may not even be in the discussion process that we're having here. And I think that whatever we come up with has to be able to be inclusive to all of those particular ccTLDs. That's just sort of my top of the, sort of my, what's the word, high view, the view from the top. And I want to just make that comment and make sure that we keep that in mind.
Sure. I think, yes, it is a difficult issue. There are, obviously, with Eberhard's last comment, there are some ccTLD managers, at least, who believe that there is a property attachment to a ccTLD, and there are, it seems to me that the first published guideline or standard of RFC 1591 was quite deliberately vague as to any concept of ownership, and was seeking to appoint ccTLD managers as custodians rather than owners of any property, and in that custodial sense having to act in the best interests of the local internet community and so on and so on. So it probably is a more detailed debate that we need to have at some point to seek to clarify in that regard, but I'm fairly confident we can't do that via a phone call.
I agree. I'm just bringing it up so that everyone's points of view are taken in context.
Yeah. But I think our agreed process at this stage, not that we need to confine ourselves to that agreed process, is to work through the actual documentation in front of us. And I don't think any of the documents anywhere refer to an ownership model or necessarily any enduring right. Just because you're the ccTLD manager, that you should have necessarily any enduring right to continue to operate.
Keith,
Nigel here.
With all due respect, Keith, I don't think you want minuted what you just said. Yeah. What we're dealing with is something. Somebody owns it. Somebody disposes of it. With it, determines what to do with it. Yeah. And your long-winded sentence just now, in all honesty and whatever, it is absolutely clear that it's a data, under Namibian law, it's a database, and I own it outright. And I have assigned a license to a company who will defend it extremely vigorously. Okay? But we were speaking generally. We need to have a look at what it actually is, and if necessary, not necessarily in each country under each national law, but if only for the protection of the people who put 20 years of effort in, and now somebody comes and says, yeah, well, it's not property, and sorry, it doesn't work like that.
Okay, yeah. Be that as it may, Eberhard, can I get something in at this point?
Sure, Nigel.
Right. This is practical, I beg your pardon. I'm not going to engage in a debate like this, but this is practical. We've had ICP-1 and we've had RFC 1591, and we've had the GAC principles tossed around. Can I toss something else into the mix, please? Can I suggest, please, that we include in some form, and this is really kind of like a bit of a plea to Bernie and other people who are doing preparatory works, travel preparatory, as they say in European law. Can we drag in two other RFCs, please? Can we look at RFC 920 and RFC 881 to inform us of the historic development? Would that be useful?
Allow me to disclose my lack of knowledge. Can you tell me what those two RFCs are?
They're about the development of the domain name system. RFC 881, in fact, is the project plan for introduction of domains to the ARPANET.
They're predecessors to 1591.
Right, okay.
It's the document under which all CCDLDs were delegated before and after 1591. 1591 is an informational document specifying expected and acceptable behavior to which most of us voluntarily adhered ever since. But how these CCDLDs came about and how they were established and registered by whom and so on, that's under 9920, is the latest version, I think.
Yeah, be that as it may, I just think that if we are going to examine what we're going to examine, we want to start ab initio from first principles, look at some of the history and some of the terms and concepts that we used. So we see how we got here from there is the only thing I'm trying to... Does that assist in some way?
Nigel, it's Chris. I don't know the answer to that question without having a look at them. It may very well assist.
Well, I'm intending to be of assistance. Let's put it that way.
This is Desiree. I would support what Nigel has suggested. The 920 was written by John Purcell, and it's like an informational RFC. So and it actually gives a lot of definitions what is the purpose of domain names, and it's quite a generic good background for a document. So I see no downside in including references to both 920 and 881.
That's Bill Semick. I agree. In fact, I think in my heavily worked redraft of the delegation process, I mentioned RFC 1591 and its predecessor RFCs.
And at the risk of adding to that, as I've mentioned on a previous call, I've been working on another discussion paper I haven't shared with the working group yet, although a couple of people in the group have proofread it for me, that does discuss that history in some detail. And I hope soon that I can share that work paper with the working group.
Okay, so... Can I
just say something for a second?
Sure.
I hope you can hear me. It's the best I can do right now. I have a suggestion to make. If we spend a huge amount of our time either in the discussion on delegation or in the future discussions to come on retirement and certainly in respect to delegation or re-delegation anyway, perhaps not in respect to retirement, if we spend a huge amount of our time trying to craft some sort of a model, some sort of a set of principles that simply serve to satisfy the individual requirements of a number of CCDLD managers, be they contracted parties or people whose delegation hasn't been touched since it was passed by John Postel. We're never going to get anywhere. It strikes, because each individual CCDLD manager's specific requirements may well be different. It strikes me that perhaps one way around that might be for us to, at least for the purposes of our discussions on practice and principles, to allow for the concept of legacy and agree that what we're talking about does not necessarily have any relevance to existing delegations.
Yeah, I think we have discussed that in a way, that the process that we're going through here is not to seek to rectify any thing that has happened in the past, and that there is a need to accept that what is delegated is, and if it's operating in reasonable compliance with policy, that's fine, but it's not seeking to remedy any error of the past or any such thing. It's more about the process. What happens if a new Pacific island roars up from the ocean today, and you know, what's the process for delegation and so on. And I think that is not too difficult in terms of the process of delegation and retirement, but it gets more messy when it comes to the subject of redelegation. So I do think we need to sort the issue now. But would it be helpful to have a statement precursing any published document at any of the stages to say that you know, there is a legacy of delegations and we are not seeking to find a way to redress any perceived issues that occurred during any delegation of the past?
Keith, with all due respect, what is this group here for? It is delegation, very rarely, redelegation, very common, retirement, very rarely. Okay?
Yep.
We need to make sure that we know what's going on, what's the implications, is that, can we agree or not on how it's being done at the moment? Can we agree or not whether this is in need of policy development process? To say, well, but what legacy leaderism out, most CCTLDs were created, a large number, I don't know the figures, before ICANN was established. Many were established before 159 was published, under to which we have post facto agreed voluntarily to adhere because it's a reasonable document. I'm quite willing to say we don't have to deal with legacy issues if we say, okay, legacy domains cannot be redelegated against the wishes of the domain of the owner. Fine. But that's not going to happen, so we must deal with this.
Well,
but
still
Samicare.
Concern of mine is that we need to have consistency. If we're going to create a document that looks at delegation process and somehow create a different document that looks at redelegation process in a different way, we won't have consistency. So looking ahead to our discussions of whether to recommend a change in the process for redelegations or go with the existing process under RC 1591, I'm going to say that I believe that whatever we do in the delegation part of the working group should be consistent with what we expect we're going to do in the delegation part. And in particular, an awful lot of the proposed changes or proposed processes that we may or may not consider should not conflict with existing practice among CCTLDs. There's existing practice, you know, a wide range of practice among CCTLDs. And looking at the current IANA process, many of those CCTLDs would not be approved right now. And in the event of redelegation, again, with that IANA process that we have in front of us, the redelegated, the domain that's currently being managed might be redelegated merely because the existing manager doesn't meet those procedures.
Bill, Nigel.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Well, again, both what you and Eberhard have said is all very well. My concern is not a particular concern of an individual. It's a genuine concern based on, as everybody will tell you, being an annoying, pedantic little so-and-so in this process for the last 10 or 12 years. And what I see is lacking is this. And for understandable reasons, and I'm not suggesting there's any malice or inimical behavior in how this has come about, but what is lacking in the whole process is a certain amount of objectivity. we need to approach the issue of the three things we talked about, delegation, redelegation, and retirement, with objective viewpoint rather than subjective. And I don't believe we can do that until we can agree what it is we're dealing with. Eberhard says it's a database. I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm not sure I know what it is. A database may be part of it. A two-letter code may be part of it. But what actually is a top-level domain name? And we really, really need to understand that before, because I can see what's going on here, and I can see that we will end up sinking beneath a wave of misunderstanding between people, because I think a domain name is one thing, Eberhard thinks it's something else, and we are plugging forward our particular viewpoints based on our understanding of what it is. So I think we need to say, what is a domain name at the top level, and make a definition of that. And that's my hobby horse for the day, guys.
Nigel, it's Chris. I agree with that, I think. But I think it raises a number of rather difficult issues which may, in fact, have a terminal effect on what we're doing. It seems to me there are only a couple of choices here. One thing to do would be to say, assuming for the sake of discussion, that after however long we need to discuss this, we actually agree with, and let's call it a working definition of what a domain name is for the purposes of our discussion, that can only ever be our working definition, anything else other than that. So the question that I would raise on that basis is whether it's actually worth bothering, because it may well be easier, not just easier, but in fact it may well be the only way forward, to go back to the CCNSO and say, actually we can't do this without a definition of what is CCTLD. You can't have a definition of what a CCTLD is without having a definition of what a TLD is, and that is absolutely and positively a subject for a policy development process.
So there's the answer to the question. Of the overriding objective, isn't it?
Well, that's my point. Discussing anything else, you might as well just say you need to have a policy development process, and what is a CCTLD?
Chris, it's clear, it's already defined what the GTLD is. I can have written in the new guidelines that a GTLD is a TLD that is not a CCTLD. So that's sorted. We just need to define what a CCTLD is.
Well,
somebody needs to define it, or a policy development process must be created to define it.
I'm not sure that I agree with that, Eberhard. Apart from anything else, you've got a whole heap of circumstances currently running where the fees would argue about the shape of particular GTLDs, etc. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't think it's actually that simple.
I think what Eberhard is saying here is the old thing about the guy in the balloon and the Microsoft engineer. It's entirely correct and doesn't help us one jot.
Yes, sure. I mean, the upshot of a PDP in that regard might be to say the reverse, and a CCTLD is a TLD that is not a GTLD.
Mm.
And then we've just chased our tail right round in the circle. And, you know, one would imagine that it would be easier to define a GTLD than a CCTLD in many ways.
You see, the other thing about Eberhard's reference to the GTLD definition is that does not establish what is a GTLD. It merely sets out what was put in a document as, I presume it was a GNSO, or maybe it was the board, I'm not sure, but it sets out an organization's view of what a GTLD is. I really, really think it would be very, very helpful to have some discussion going back, and this is why I brought up RFC 881 particularly, because I've been doing some research on this, and sit down and work out from first principles, devoid of any political maneuvering, but looking at it objectively and trying to define it.
Okay. Are there any other comments? So where has this got us? Are we suggesting, are people happy that we should perhaps try and do a similar comparison document to what we have in front of us now between, was it 881 and 920 and 1591, to isolate the gaps and see if there is from that some sort of working definition?
Keith, sorry about this. 881 is not something that is particularly amenable to a side-by-side comparison. It is a document of its time and contains a project plan, if you like, for the implementation of the very, very first DNS resolver, for example.
Oh, okay.
The stuff in there that is relevant, but it's not sort of RFC 920 version 0 or RFC 5091 version minus 1 or something like that. It's quite a different document.
Okay.
Can I just quote from the introduction of 920? This memo restates and defines the requirements on establishing a domain first described in RFC 881. So basically, one can look at both, but comparing them next to each other might not be helpful. But one was written before the others, and this is a more refining of the first one. But Bernie has done such, and Becky has done such an excellent job, and I wanted to thank them for that. Maybe this is something that we can revisit, that we can look at first, review these documents, and maybe that will push us in the right direction.
Yeah, help us.
But that's probably quite helpful, Keith. Doing a sort of analysis or run through of certainly of 920, I think you could do both. And at the same time, I'd still like to see. I think it would be incredibly useful. And in fact, I think we already agreed to do a practice, a look at the practice as well, and a comparison of that against our current comparison.
Okay. Well, on the other hand, we've got Kim saying that those earlier RFCs are a part of a report that we're not able to see yet. So, again, I'm a bit wary about reinventing any particular wheel. And I wonder what the timing of a release of any such document might be, Kim.
That's a good question. I actually met with the Department of Commerce about how I can release this document a couple of weeks ago. They have some concerns about some of it being made available, and quite rightly. So I'm trying to work through with them about what portions of it can be shared with the group or not. Obviously, they had concerns about the documents I have shared, which resulted in that sort of disclaimer on the beginning of the first page, simply because, I'm discussing work that we do in the context of being a contractor to the U.S. government, and, we do it under their instruction, and it's a bit unusual for a contractor to the U.S. government to, I guess, criticize, and I say criticize in a positive way. It's an analysis on some of the deficiencies of the process. Certainly, much of it is my personal opinion, but nonetheless, it's an unusual position to be in. So, just trying to work through the issues so I can share as much as I can.
Okay, so it's not really a simple. It could be 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years.
I wish I had a good indication of it. I mean, as the discussion develops, if there's something specific in the paper that talks to something that's on active discussion on the list, I can probably share aspects of it, as if I was just contributing to the discussion directly. But if I knew, I would share it with you. But I just don't know. And I think to be transparent, I've shown Keith the paper just so he knows what I'm working on and has a sense of what it contains.
Okay. Well, I wonder then, in the circumstances, whether we could have Bernie have a read of those two earlier RFCs and maybe do a cut and paste of the aspects of those two RFCs that are relevant to the discussions of delegations, redelegations and retirement of TLDs in that broader sense, and dispense with any peripheral discussions about IP number allocation and so on and so on, and then a look to post those to the list and invite comment and discussion to see if there are some issues of principle that the working group feels comfortable exploring further.
I'll be glad to do that. It will take a few days, though.
Sure.
It's Bill Flemick. Just to point out, 920, in fact, was a IETS network working group RFC 920. It states it is a policy statement on the requirements of establishing a new domain name. That's within the ARPA and DARPA internet. Of course, this is a different internet now. But as far as I could find, this is the only actual policy statement relating to domain names that came out of the RFC IETF process.
Yes, okay. Well, look, are people reasonably comfortable with that as an approach? Bernie's saying it's probably quite a bit of work in a few days, but do a cut and paste. I have to say I'm not intimately familiar with either of those RFCs myself, so I would like to take the opportunity to read. And if I could get a more concise and relevant set of excerpts from them and to read, could I suggest that and invite discussion on the list to discuss the relevance of those to our discussions?
Perhaps, I mean, just a personal view. I mean, I don't think it's going to lead to much change to the work of this group. RFC 882 is completely silent on the concept of CCTLDs. And RFC 920 has exactly one sentence about a country code TLD. So it's not as though they have a lot of literature on the topic. RFC 1591 was really the first document with standard references to the subject matter of this working group.
Yeah. I think we have in the past had considerable discussion about whether to try to define or not before, during or after we complete our work, but I thought we had quite solidly taken it as read that 1591 was kind of the founding principal document for the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs, amongst other things. But I think if it goes away to getting increasing clarity in people's minds of what a TLD is, then it's not going to hurt.
Well, it actually has a definition of the domain, so yeah. Let's start.
Yeah, this is Bernie. I mean, I trust Kim, so if the references are light, then it'll just mean that I can get this done quickly, and then the group can have something in front of them to work with.
Okay. Okay, so there's some reasonable happiness with the proposed process.
Can you just give me an executive summary again? The connection is not very good. But Keith, I understand you very well.
Sorry. Bernie will do a cut and paste from the two RFCs we've been discussing to extract any aspects that are relevant to a top-level domain in particular a CCTLD, so that we can then have that abbreviated version of the two documents on the list, discussion on the list, to discuss the relevance to or the importance of those two documents versus RSD 1591 ICP1 and forget principles.
Can I just interject a minor correction? It's 881, not 882.
881 and 920.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Thank you.
Then you probably should add the update 921 as well.
Sorry, I didn't understand that.
There are updates to 881.
There are updates to 881.
Which are, yes, and one of them is 921. You find a list of the updates in IFC 1000.
Yeah, I think what we really need to look at is we must look at the first one and then look. Often RFC supersedes earlier ones. We must basically establish the whole trail of these documents.
Yes.
That we don't talk about one that has been superseded by a later RFC. I think Bernie is going to be can do this easily and he did the last one very well. So I have full confidence that he will handle that very nicely.
Will do.
Yeah, okay, well, let's not, at this early stage, bother ourselves with trying to do the direct comparison between the documents. Let's just review the actual wording in those earlier RFCs and make an assessment of whether they're relevant or not. And I think we should try and do that on list and then have it as an agenda item for our next meeting.
I think that's right, and I think if I understand it correctly, I think what Nigel and others are saying is that it's not that it's useful to do any comparisons with the older RFCs, but more, much more importantly, they may assist with in coming to definitions may be too strong a word, but coming to an understanding of what was intended. Rather than any uses to how the practice works.
Yes. Yeah. No. So it's guiding principles as to why and how so on. So yes. No. I think that's entirely reasonable. So are there any other comments relating to this topic? Okay, well, I think that probably dispenses with item 5 on the agenda, unless anyone has anything else in that regard.
I know you don't. I know.
Getting some interesting crosstalk here. Okay, item 6 on the agenda was the IANA procedures document. I think probably our discussion has dispensed with the main part of that, but does anyone have any other items relating to that IANA procedures document at this stage?
That's Bill Simic here. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to set the frame for the timeline from my perspective. As you know, I shared it with the working group because I think it's relevant. Even though it's an early draft and hasn't been circulated yet, from a staff perspective, our goal is to get a draft of this public as soon as possible, simply for the fact that with the announcement of some approved CCTLD strings just last week for the fast track, and that's going to increase over the coming months, we would like better documentation of our processes, particularly with respect to delegation, simply because we're going to have a lot of these coming through, and it's just more effective use of our time to point to good documentation as opposed to explaining the process on an ad hoc basis one-on-one with each applicant. So that's kind of our overriding goal with getting this done sooner rather than later. The goal, the current concept of how this will be released is similar to how we published the name server requirements that we published about a year ago now, which is that we will publish them as a draft on the ICANN website, ask for public comment on how to improve the documentation, and then integrate those comments in, and then with whatever we integrate that with, seek US government approval on this publication, and subsequent to that, put it on the IANA website. That being said, and as something I've already said to the list, the aim here is not to change policy at all whatsoever. It's really to just accurately document what we do today. So, you know, we can have interesting debates about the appropriateness of some of the contents, and I'm happy to have those discussions because I think they're very useful for everyone. But just to be clear, the intention is not to change our current practice. Hopefully it's just to state as clearly as possible what it is. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay, and I think our job is in doing that comparison between the policies and guidelines and what you're doing is, if there is a gap for some comment to come from this working group on the identified gap or missing aspects, and then it's over to the CCNSO as to what they would want to do. So I don't think we're seeking to interfere with, or we have no ability as a working group to interfere in any way in the actual practice of what IANA's doing.
No, but we can recommend policy development process.
Absolutely.
Well, I had thought Kim wanted us to look it through to see if there's anything that jars or that stands out as a potential issue.
Yep.
Apart from this working group's, assignment.
Absolutely right, Bill, yeah.
Yep.
Well, so, yeah.
But I think that was already agreed upon that Bill would have a look at it from a editing perspective, but if there is some issues, that we would also mention it to IANA or to Kim. Did I misunderstand something?
I think that any issues you identify should definitely be raised, and it could be that it's a drafting error and I've made a mistake, or it could be that it's not clear and it can be improved, or it could be that it's just a genuine disagreement that you don't think IANA is doing the right thing, which is fine too, but that obviously wouldn't be addressed by simply changing the documents. That would, you know, result in, you know, work in this working group perhaps or something else.
This is Bill again. You know, that's one of the things I've been struggling through working through this document. You know, what are the things that I don't like in here versus what are the things that are inconsistent or put the document in question? And I have gone through and done some suggested edits for clarity, which you feel free to throw out. I'm going to forward this stuff to you. And then I have one or two issues that I think are important, and I'll raise them with the group because I think it's relevant. Primarily one is sort of an overriding feeling that I have is that if an entity like ICON or IANA posts the process as, in effect, its official policy process, it should be consistent with existing and current practice among existing CCTLDs who are managing their TLDs in good behavior, for example, TLDs with AF agreements or contracts like ICON, IANA. And there is some language in here which is not consistent, and I'm suggesting that it might make sense to not include the language in the policy statement. I'm not saying, you know, I certainly none of us has an ability to intervene in how IANA interprets policy or implements policy, but I think I would say it's not advisable put something up as policy which is not, it's not being imposed across the board to all CCTLD managers.
Okay.
So, I mean, just to follow up on that specific issue, I mean, you know, I think it's a very interesting point to make. From what I understand about the history of, you know, the collective set of all TLDs, at least some of them had very little to no scrutiny on their delegation. It was someone sent an email to John back in the very early time and just said, you know, I'll run .xy, and John said, okay, sounds good. So, you know, if you apply the test that everyone needs to be eligible under the same circumstances under which they applied, I guess there's two approaches. One is that you explicitly say every TLD operator that stands today is grandfathered under the criteria which applied at the time. Now, I'm not saying that's the correct thing to do, but that's one approach. And the other approach is to basically have no criteria whatsoever because, you know, the test was extremely low. So, you know, that's just an observation that the fact of the matter is, I think the criteria today is substantially different from that applied in 1985 when the first TLDs were delegated. And it's not a case that at some point it changed explicitly. It's just with every subsequent delegation, it's been sort of an evolutionary process where it's just slightly modified a little and each one is slightly different. And over the course of the intervening 25 years, the process that you see today is a fair amount more formal than it was 25 years ago. So that's my observation.
Sure, and we've come from a relative novelty to a serious part of infrastructure, and to imagine that there wouldn't be a change over that period of time to reflect the reality of the use of a CCTLD, etc., would be somewhat naive, I think. Okay.
Keith, this is opinion, eh?
That's why I said I think at the end. Okay, where are we at? We have, I think, discussed item 6, and is there any last comment anyone wishes to make? Okay, moving on to item 8, or no, item 7, dates to get comments in on the comparison documents. I think we probably have a bit or a need for a bit more time, but I'd suggest if people are reading and rereading the documents, comments on the list or to Bernie reasonably expediently would be good for any modifications or changes to those documents so that we could have an updated version at the next conference call, which I think is the 11th of February. So could we strike a deadline of, say, the 4th of February for any further comments? I think Bill's already indicated he has some comments to make, and we'll get them in, I think, to Kim in short term, but another week up to the 4th of February, are people relaxed about that?
Kim, how does that jibe with your timetable?
Well, you know, if I know there's some coming down the pipeline and I'll arrive by 4th of February, I can hold off until then. Like I said, at this point, every day I would wish this document to be out there, simply because just in the last couple of days we're getting all these inquiries about delegating IDM 60TLDs, and documentation would be terribly useful for that endeavour.
It's basically, Kim, I understand completely, but it is only, you know, a few more days.
I understand. So I wouldn't want to wait another week expecting nothing, but if stuff's coming down the pipeline and that's the deadline, that's fine by me.
Well, does anyone else expect to submit anything besides myself? And we should probably ask the other members of the working group so that if...
Yeah, we need to send a note out, I think, if we could perhaps do that straight after the end of this call, but...
Yeah, I think people relaxed, but Bart or Bernie, just do a brief summary of the meeting, including the salient point of when comments are closing and so on, immediately after this call, so others have the same opportunity to input.
Yes, what we'll do is, say, relating to the different topics on the agenda, just record the action items and then send that out, and then the minutes will follow later.
Yes, that'd be fantastic, thank you. Unless there's any objection from anyone else? Excellent, thank you. Okay, and then that probably brings us to item 9 on the agenda, the documents required for the working group meeting in Nairobi, or for the meeting in meetings in Nairobi. Now, remember,
I'm sorry, Keith, did we miss number 8, or did it jump into number 7?
Well, let's take 8 and 9 together, you know, the documents that we want to publish and what documents are required. Now, I think my reason for wanting to deal with them together was our original project plan was suggesting that we would have our initial report on delegations available at the Nairobi meeting, and quite clearly we're not going to be in a position to do that. So I guess the question is what should we be publishing, if anything, and then obviously what we're going to be discussing at the workshop and the working group meetings and the CCNSO members meeting in Nairobi. And I think they all fit together. And I think my view is probably all we can do is report, you know, put a progress report to the Nairobi meeting, summarising, you know, the work we've done to date, and apologising for not having our stage one delegations report ready at this stage.
I think that's right, Keith.
And so no dissent from that.
But I think we should, but Keith, I think we should discuss, we've got a, my recollection is that, and Bart can confirm this, my recollection is that we do have a scheduled session with, at the CCNSO meeting with members either on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, and I think we should make some use of that for our purposes. In other words, delivering a sort of report is simply a paper report that says this is where we're up to, but we've got the session planned, we should use it.
Yes, absolutely. That was going to be my very next point. I think we have agreement that a progress report be prepared, and I think Bernie and I and Becky should, and Bart should work on or start to work on that and get it through the next two iterations of the conference call so that we have a publishable report for Nairobi.
Keith.
But yes, let's discuss the members meeting. We have this 1 hour time slot, and I wonder if or what subjects might be best raised within that session. What would be most productive for us to raise with CCNSO members?
Keith,
yes.
Nigel, this is possibly the most appropriate time to mention this, but I'll mention it in passing and assume that we will come to some arrangements as a result after the fact. I don't need an answer right now. It seems extremely unlikely that I will be in Nairobi in a physical presence, and I'd just like to underline the desire to take part in the work of the working group to the maximum possible remotely, and just hope that appropriate arrangements will be made, given the fact that I seem to remember that we've had difficulties in the past.
Yes, I've asked Gabby to have teleconference facilities for the working group meetings, for the two working group meetings for the workshop, and I have assumed that the CCNSO, as part of its normal meeting, will have the webcast and conference facilities for that section too. So I've sought to have inclusion, Nigel, and I hope it happens.
Okay, well, I mean, I can't say fairer than that.
Nigel, this is Bart. Let me get back to you and to the group, say, over the next day or two. Say, what are the facilities and what are the precise times? And
I appreciate that very much. I won't be the only one. I suspect there will be a number of people in the same position for possibly the similar reasons.
This is Bill. While we're on the topic, not to get away from your original comment, Keith, can I ask who on this call is absolutely planning to be in Nairobi?
I am absolutely planning to be in Nairobi.
Okay, that's Becky.
Yep.
Chris is too.
Byron Holland and Catherine Reynolds will be there.
And I'll be there.
And as far as I'm aware...
And of course, I will be there too.
Chris,
I'm not sure, Kevin. I'm listening in as an observer, and I will be there.
Sorry, I
I think that was power off.
Okay, I had two speakers at once, so I didn't catch either of those comments.
So we will have reasonably good representation there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yep. And I imagine a number of the people who are not on the call will be there also, so fairly solid. Okay, so the question is, firstly then, what are the topics that we would like to raise during our one-hour session with the CCNSO members? And I wonder if anyone's got a burning issue, if they could make that suggestion now. Otherwise, perhaps Bernie, Bart, Becky, and anyone else whose name starts with B and myself could try and corral our energies and find the best topics to raise and discuss, and we'll post that to the list in due course and allow some interaction and see where we get to.
That's fine from my side, Keith, I think.
Okay.
What about Nigel's question about the angels on the head of a pen? What's the domain name? Nigel's question.
Okay.
Please do not let's christen this Nigel's question.
Oh, I like that. I think
it's a great idea. That's Nigel's question.
this is a bit like the what the hell is it in England? The Scottish question or the Schleswig-Holstein question or something like that.
Well, isn't there a process of questioning the PM as well?
Now, there's a particular thing in England. I think it's called after the name of one particular Scottish Member of Parliament who kept raising it.
It's not the Quango question.
Well, I think we'll need the definition of an angel before we can proceed anyway.
You have a number of them on the committee.
I think we should get someone else to ask the question, Nigel, and he can answer it. We can have the Roberts who joined us.
I have to say, that's my PhD you're talking about.
I'm delighted to hear
answering that question.
How to answer every question by Nigel Roberts.
No, answering the question of what is a domain name.
I'll tell you. We're just on the way for you to finish, then. That's simple.
Be about 5 years. Mind you, we'll probably still be talking about this in 5 years' time.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, and... So we have an approach there, and the suggestion is the angels and pinhead question as being a suggestion, and let us work through an iteration of that and get it to the list for further input and comment in the next week or so. And we also have for Nairobi a two-hour open workshop, which I think is designed for members of this working group to have a listen to any individuals who want to discuss any aspects of delegations, redelegations, retirements in a somewhat public forum. Now, we'd talked about that only briefly in the past. Are people comfortable with that to happen? And again, probably quite important for those who are not attending attending directly in Nairobi to have access to that session for while this working group isn't at all concerned with individual delegations and redelegations, it's probably useful to make for us to have an idea of what people feel have fitted within policy or outside policy and things that have happened. Does that sound like a reasonable method of approach for this workshop?
It sounds reasonable to me, Keith, and with that I'm going to bow out of the call. So if anything important happens in the next 10 or 15, perhaps somebody can drop me an email afterwards.
Sure.
Nigel,
thanks a lot.
What will happen when you're not here?
Cheerio, all. Good night. Or good morning, Eve.
Okay.
It's Bill, can I ask, I'm a little confused, when is the working group actually going to meet in Nairobi?
It has two meetings, one is on the Sunday afternoon from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Nairobi time, and the other is on the Thursday at
11:30 to 1:30 local time.
Yes. So
actually, we're going to be doing four meetings.
Yeah, well, in a way, we're doing three, plus we have a session within the CCNSO members
right,
meeting.
Right, so the relevant meetings to this
work. Well, no, it's actually not really for either case, is it? It's actually, there are two working group meetings, which are specifically meetings of the working group. There's the session for the members, which we're going to discuss on the list, and there is this workshop that we're planning on the Sunday, which is to see if we can let people, it's basically a venting session for people.
Yeah.
This is merely playing devil's advocate here. Is there an opportunity at this workshop for prospective persons interested in doing redelegations to also present their cases?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. So what I think what we need to do in that regard is firm up on that proposal reasonably quickly so that we can make a call on the CC. Lists for people who want to speak and sort of have the topic reasonably well defined. But I think as an informational, it needs to cover, you know, delegations, redelegations and retirements so that we've got a fairly useful input session. And if we have too many speakers for the time, then we could run another workshop next time and so on. So, I think it's primarily, I think, something that working group members should do their best to observe, and so that, you know, we can all use it as an informational. Okay, Bill, just going back to the meetings, the two working group meetings are to cover the same agenda on the basis that not all members of the working group can attend any one of those meetings or both of those meetings because of other commitments. So just the reiterative process that this working group's applying.
Okay.
And so I think that probably tidily brings us to item 11 and confirm other meetings and or next meetings, and I think our next teleconference is scheduled for 11 February at 0100 UTC. I hope everyone has that in their diary. And if
3 o'clock in the morning here.
Okay.
But then, as you know, I have a night job.
Well, these meetings are designed to eventually get to each of us individually to get up at an...
I know this. I have no problems.
Yep. Interesting. Okay. Are there any other items of business that we haven't otherwise covered?
I just have a question, information. On the initial draft topic paper of the DRDWG1 Phase 1 delegation process, what's the scheduled plan for working on that document?
Can you repeat, Bill? I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Well, it's basically the delegation process document, the one which I hacked away at.
Okay, and you're asking...
What's the next step for that document? Where is it? Are we discussing it further? Is it going to be further editing? What's the future hold? This is basically what we're supposed to be presenting in Nairobi.
Yep.
I guess we're still in the, still at Chris, I guess we're still in a sort of informational stage, aren't we, in the sense that having done the comparison with the three documents, the background documents, we're now going to go back and look at some previous RFCs, and we're going to do a comparison with practice. And I guess that the intention would be, certainly from my point of view, it seems to me logical, that the next step after that would then be to say, right, let's now either take that draft and work using the information that we've learned over the looking at what we've been looking at, either start again from scratch or reword it.
Yep. But let's make it an agenda item for the next call of this working group, so that we don't lose sight of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Excellent. Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Okay. Any other issues, items of general business? If not, thank you all for your attendance.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. And farewell all. Oh, sorry.
Good night.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
I thought somebody wanted to say something.
So did I.
was it Beck?
It doesn't matter. Talk to you later.
Everyone's gone. See you, Barbara.
Yeah. Have a good night. Again.
Bye-bye.